Today is kind of a transition Sunday, or actually the next three are going to be kind of transition Sundays. We're going to be talking about the study that we're going to be doing. The study that we're going to be doing in beginning in first Sunday of October. This is the book that we're going to be looking at. It's called Believe. And so for this Sunday, next Sunday, and the Sunday following, we're going to be talking a little bit about this book and about the study that is going to be coming up. And we're going to challenge you to come and to be a part of this study, not because it's a study. It's done by Randy Frazee, the same person who did the story. And it's the same kind of a setup. We're going to be having our service, of course, at 9:45 here. And then we're going to have our, then it will be a video, then it will be a Sunday school class or a discussion group following that. So same type of a setup. Today I'm just going to kind of be talking about this book and how it's set up, and I'm going to end up with telling you why we're doing it, and because I think it's really important that we know why. It isn't just a study. It isn't just something that, well, it gives Steve Dean and myself a break because it tells us what to preach on. It actually doesn't tell us what to preach on. It gives us a topic. So this is going to be a topical study. Each week there is going to be a certain topic we're going to talk on, and the book is divided, and this is in, I think I put it in your notes. Someone shake your head if I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah. Anyway, the divisions are broken down in there. There's 30 chapters, and there's 10 chapters to each section. The first section is Think. It's called Think, and it's what do I believe? What do you believe? You know, you believe in Santa Claus. You believe in Easter Bunny. You believe in the Tooth Fairy. That one I kind of like. But, you know, what do you really believe? And what is important to believe? This book addresses that. What we're going to look at in this book is 10 core beliefs of the Christian life. So it kind of lays out, and it's not all the core beliefs. It's not saying that there's only 10, but it picks out 10 very important core beliefs that we have in our Christian life. And it's going to challenge you. What do you believe about that? It's going to have biblical support for every core item that is in there. In fact, it's very much set up that when you read it, you're just reading the Bible. But it's put more in a topical form. So that's the first part of the second part is, first of the stink. The next one is act. Is act. What are we supposed to do as Christians? We call ourselves believers. What do we do as a believer? And so the next 10 chapters are answering the question, what should I do? And it talks about the core practices of the Christian life. What is it that a Christian or a believer is supposed to be doing? You know, what does that look like? You know, so that's the next. Then the last 10 chapters is under the title B-E. And it is, who am I becoming? What is the goal in all this? What is it that I'm, you know, what's at the end of the tunnel? Why study? Why do? And what it is the question is, who am I becoming? And it's a study in the core virtues of Christian life. Who should I inspire to be like? You know, there are many role models in our world today. Most of them are either entertainers or in the sports world. Not too many have political role models. I certainly don't. And unfortunately, we oftentimes pick up their things they do, and they think they're okay. But this is talking about What are the virtues as we, as Christians, what should we aspire to? What should we be looking to become? And so we'll be answering that question today. Not today, during that study. And so I really want to encourage you to, I don't know, Steve, when are the books going to be available?
That's just another storage thing in my office, so never read my books. I was thinking the last Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. And so we're going to make these books available last Sunday of the month, so last Sunday of September. These will be available. They're reasonable. Again, if you would like to buy them, if you can't afford them, then certainly as they get from our church, not a problem at all. But they're somewhere around the $5 range. Again, we're not talking excessive there. But I encourage you to talk to people about it, to invite people to come, because it's really going to lay out our core beliefs. And it's a good way for someone who does not know what Christianity is all about, that does not know what it means to be a believer. It's going to be a really kind of a step-by-step through that and telling them what is important to us. And so it's a great opportunity to bring someone. Buy them a book. Give it to them. I know last time we did the story, I don't know how many books we went through. That's great. We definitely sold more books than there are people in this church. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing. It could be just because you're forgetful as you get older, and you probably have four books at home that you didn't know that, so you just kept taking one, which is kind of my case. But anyway, so I just want to challenge you to step out. And it's going to be, it's going to be, you've seen the story, you know how it goes. It's a great video with Randy Frazee. It's all going to be Sunday school and church. It's all going to be talking about the same thing. Our small groups for the adults are going to be, and we'd like to have more leaders so we can have smaller groups so we can have better discussion. I just want to, again, this is, I don't want to make this a total commercial today. I do want to say something that's important besides trying to get you to come. Anyway, but before I just break into a very short kind of sermon, let's pray. Father, it is such a privilege to be part of your family. It's such a privilege to be here and to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Father, it's a privilege to worship and to learn from your word. Thank you for the privileges that you have given to us. You have so richly blessed us. Father, as we head into this study that is called Believe, Father, we know that it's not the study that is going to convince anyone. But Father, it's the power of your Holy Spirit behind the words that are said, behind your word being proclaimed. And Father, we do pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, and Father, in the hearts of those who are around us. And Lord, as we are bold and ask people to come, we pray that your Holy Spirit would motivate them to come and to know what it really means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe in God. Father, I pray that in just a few minutes, as we look at some of your scriptures, Lord, just speak to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the word believe is really important to us who are Christians and to us who are believers, because our very name has the word in it, we are believers. The word is prominent in the Bible. In the New Testament alone, the word believe, and this is just one Greek word that is for believe, and there are other Greek words, but this is just the one main Greek word for believe, is used 400 times in the New Testament. In the Gospel of John, it is used 99 times. I tried to find the 100th time, but it's not in there. I don't like odd numbers, but 99 will have to do. It's in there 99 times. Of course, if I had thrown in his first, second, and third John, then I could have hit it. But it still would have been an odd number, so I'm not going to do that. Anyway, 99, you know, it's a key word in our faith. And I just want to look at some scriptures quick and that tell you, that show you how important the word believe is. John 3:14-16. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I'm just going to rapid fire through these. So, John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Talking to Martha here. Then at the end of the book of John, towards the end, chapter 20, verse 31. But these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Just a couple more here. Acts 16:30-31. This is the Philippian jailer. And this is after the doors have all been opened to the prison. He's about to kill himself. Paul yells out, don't do it. Don't kill yourself. We're also here. Then he says, after he brought them out, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And then going to 1 John, so we can put this in there, that makes it 100. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Now, that's just a snippet. The words believe, and I mean, what did I mention? That like 7, 6, 7, 8, something like that. It's over 400, and that's just one Greek word that is translated into believe. It's crucial that we understand what that term believe means. What does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to believe in God? No, we throw that word out because we use it for a lot of things, you know. I believe in gravity. I believe in this. I believe in that. I believe, you know, what is really important to our spiritual health that we believe, and what does it truly mean to believe? Well, kind of that's the next point in there, and I did something that I normally don't do. This is kind of a Dean thing here, but I put the Greek, kind of a Greek trail in there. So people who are really fluent in Greek, as most of you are, of course, this is what, if you go back and look at Greek, this is what the words mean. Okay, first of all, you start out with the number 4,100, and you know, I'm not going to pronounce the word, but it's written right down for you too. And that Greek word means to have faith. To have faith. But if you look in there, it says from New Testament 4102. So that means that word has the root in another Greek word, and that word is down there, and it means persuasion. Persuasion, or being persuaded, or a moral conviction. But that word also has a connection to another Greek word, 3982, and that word is to convince. Convince, or to be convinced. It means when you believe something, you are absolutely convinced, you are persuaded, you really have faith in what you believe in. It's not just a head knowledge, yes, there was a Jesus, yes, he was the Son of God, yes, he came in history, yes, he rose from the dead. I believe all those things. You know, that's great, but there's more to it than that. You are to believe all those things, but it needs to become a conviction for you. You need to be totally persuaded that that's the way it is. That there is no option. There is no other Jesus Christ. There's only one. There is no other way to heaven. There's only one. It's through Jesus Christ. And through believing in Jesus Christ. Not just knowing the name. Not just knowing who they say he was. Or what they say he did. But it's actually in a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Getting to know him. Inviting him into your heart, being convicted that that's the way you need to live your life. That's what it means to believe. So what we're going to talk about in the first part of this book is, what do I believe? What do I believe? Well, in here, here's some of the topics we're going to be looking at, or actually the first 10 we're going to be talking about God, a personal God, salvation, the Bible, identity in Christ, the church, humanity, compassion, stewardship, and eternity. I've already assigned eternity to Dean, because only Dean can explain eternity. That one, the wheels of my mind just start turning, and they just smoke starts coming out of my ears and all that. But I get to handle stewardship, so... That's Dan going to wear a brown paper bag over my head and come in and talk about giving money to the church. So that's not what stewardship is all about, you giving money to the church. Way more about stewardship than that. So anyway, those are the topics we're going to be looking at. We're going to hear a lot more about those later. Why? What does it matter? Why does it matter? Why are we doing this? Why is it important that we go through this study? And that's not just this study. But why is it important that we learn God's Word? Why is it important that we come to Sunday school and come to Bible studies and come to prayer meetings? Why is it important that we do that? And I just want to... this is my heart. This is my heart. Okay, this isn't a book anywhere. No one told me to say this. This is what I feel in my heart is one of the reasons why I want to go through this study. First of all, and the word I use there is security, but I've come up with a better word since then. And then once it's printed, of course, it's gospel, but I'm going to change it. Cross out security and put in assurance. Put in assurance. It's important that we are assured that we have salvation. It is important that we are sure that we know God. And there's a couple of verses in the New Testament are kind of scary. There's one in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. And it says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Many of you will say on that day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not cast out demons in your name? And in your name perform many miracles?" And then I will declare to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Now, I guarantee you that these people would call themselves believers. So why is it that they are not entering heaven? They did a lot of good works. They did a lot of positive things. So why is it that Jesus is saying, I do not know you. Depart from me. Why? Why? See, and I have a fear today that there are people who are sitting in our pews, not just in this church, but in churches all across the country, that really have no clue why they're sitting in these pews, other than they're supposed to, because it's the thing to do. Because we grew up in a family that has always come to this church and done this thing. I want to make sure that everyone has assurance that, not insurance, but assurance, that they're on the right track and they are doing what God wants them to do. And then in Luke chapter 8, verse 13, and this is where Jesus is telling the disciples the meaning of the parable of the soils. And I was surprised when I read this. Now, it's recorded in the different Gospels, but Luke is the only one that uses this word in it. He says, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm roots. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Jesus uses the word believe. They believe for a while. So they would call themselves believers until times get rough. Then all of a sudden, they're not. Because, you know what? Well, I didn't think believers had suffered. I didn't think believers had hard times. I mean, if you're a believer, don't you live in a rose garden? And isn't everything going to always be, I was going to use the word hunky-dory, but you know, anyone under the age of 60 would have any clue what that means. But everything is just going to be wonderful. It's just going to be perfect. Isn't that what it means to be a believer? No. We need to study the scriptures. Because it talks about believers suffering, having hard times, having trials. It talks about the world hating Jesus, and of course the world's going to hate those who are following Jesus. That's what a believer is. And so I don't want to have someone who believes for a while and then gives it up because it's too tough or it's too hard. So the first reason that I'm going to go through this is to make sure that you know what you believe. That you know what you believe. And it isn't just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. Secondly, there's something that is, I think, really a big problem in our churches today, and that is growth. I don't think we're growing people. I don't think we're growing Christians. I don't think we're growing disciples. Why is it that the rate of our young people who go to college dropping out of the church and even to the place of denying the Lord altogether, why is it rampant among Christian kids? Why? Because we don't help them to grow. Why is it that we have so many people sitting in the pews? And again, I'm not just talking about you folks. I don't feel I'm insulting you. I'm talking about the church in a general way here, that simply they come, they do their part on Sunday, they go, put their Bible on the shelf, if they remember to take it home, and then next Sunday they show up and they go through the same thing again. And they feel like they have done what they're supposed to do, which the Bible says, no. There are works attached to being a believer. Not that you're a believer by works, but there are works attached to being a believer. you know, we need to grow in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. Are we growing Christians? We need to. Ephesians 4:13-15. Until we all attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried along by every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. You know, I thought about that verse, you know, I mean, I look at that, and it's amazing that, you know, where a lot of the cults aim at when they are starting their false teachings and stuff, they don't aim at the secular world. They aim at the church. They aim at the church. And the way they pull people away from the church is they use a little bit of truth and a whole lot of heresy. And they pull people away. And the reason they do that is because people don't know that they're being pulled away into something that is not true. Because they have not grown up. They have not matured in their faith. And then in Hebrews 6:1-2, it says, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of instruction about washing and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. So there's things that we need to learn. There's things that we need to know. If we don't know them, we can be pulled away. We can be. And so this is my heart and why I would like to see everybody go through this and people in our community to come in and people who are maybe used to go to church, but they don't go to church anymore. I would love to see this church full, not because I want to count you and see how many of you are here so we can push our numbers way up. It doesn't mean anything to me. What it means is that I want everyone to know. I want them to have the assurance of knowing that they are in step with God and with Jesus Christ. And then once they know that, I want them to grow. I need to grow. I'm not a very fast grower, but I need to grow. And you don't have to be a fast grower. Just grow. But you're not going to grow by not being in God's Word and not praying and not being in fellowship. You don't grow if you don't do those things. You need to do those things. And that's what this study is going to help us. It's just a tool. It's not the gospel. It is based on the gospel. This is the book that is important. This is a tool to help us know what this book is trying to tell us. Okay, so don't get these confused. This is the important book. This is the tool that guides us through this book. So, anyway, kind of the question I'm going to leave you with, and I'm sorry, I was going to end early. As I know that we're going to promote Sunday school. No, I'm not going to promote that. Well, one week. But anyway, we're going to have a Sunday school promotion. I want to challenge you. Do you know what to believe? Do you know what it means to believe? Do you know what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian? Do you know what the goal is? Say, the goal of salvation. That's not the only goal, being Christian. Salvation is, I look at it as a benefit of being a Christian, but it's not necessarily all that we're supposed to be aiming at, salvation. So it's going to be a challenge, not just to those who are minimal believers, but even to us who are, not us saying me, but even to you who are theologians, I think it's going to be a challenge to you, and I just want to encourage you in that way. And I want you to think about those questions, because the answers to those questions are all right here. And I would love to go through this together with each and every one of you. So anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to go through this study. Lord, we know the study itself is a tool for us that leads us into the Bible, that leads us into God's Word, that helps us to put a structure to what it is that we are to believe and how we are to believe. And Lord, I just pray that as we look to start this up, that Father, you would be challenging each and every one of our hearts. And the questions that were asked this morning, Lord, I pray these were questions that would be on our minds so that we would truly be encouraged and motivated to partake of the study and to get into your word and to learn about what our faith is truly all about. Father, thank you for this time, and Lord, I pray now that you would be with this very special time of promoting our children through their new classes. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.